Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I am proud to bring you the sixth revelation with Michael and Diane Duncan. Before we start, we'll play one of Michael's songs, Lift Me. That was Lift Me by Michael Duncan. And now we proceed to Michael Duncan and Diane Duncan. Greetings and welcome, Michael and Diane. How are you?
Hi. Everybody's great here. Thank you. Thank you, Hercules.
I'm so glad to hear that. Your guests are here. Let me bring them in. Here is Nick and here is Gerald.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, welcome, friends, for the sixth revelation. And I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, here to our producer and our wonderful friend, Hercules Invictus, for the opportunity for us to share the sixth revelation with everyone here on this broadcast and everyone here in the world. So thank you so much, Hercules.
Yes, thank you, Hercules.
Just wanted to mention that song called Lift Me, Enlighten Me. That song is one that I wrote, and it's on one of our albums. It's a song that I wrote in honor of the vision and the experience of St. Catherine Laboure and the Miraculous Medal. For more than 150 years, the Miraculous Medal has been known and worn by Catholics throughout the world. It has been used and promoted by great saints and popes as a most powerful sacramental. Less well known is the story of the French sister to whom the Blessed Virgin manifested the medal in 1830. The vision book tells the story of Catherine Laboure, a Burgundy farm girl who, after a prophetic dream of St. Vincent de Paul, became a sister of charity in Paris and later in Enghien, where she cooked and mended and cared for the inmates of a home for elderly men. To this obscure sister, the Blessed Virgin appeared, made prophecies, and commissioned the making of the medal, which soon came to be known as miraculous because of the favors wrought. St. Catherine Laboure lived a life of prayer and service to the poor. She was canonized in 1947. And there's another homage that comes from that song, Lift Me, Enlighten Me, because, the Blessed Virgin, well, actually there was an angel that came to get her, to wake her up and tell her that the Blessed Virgin was there to see her. And that, we found out that that angel was Archangel Michael. And in 2013, Diane had an encounter herself with Archangel Michael, also known as Creator Son Michael in the Urantia book, Zeus in the Greek, and Shemesh in the Babylonian, and Jupiter in the Roman, and Yahweh in the Hebrew tradition. So that's kind of an homage to both St. Catherine Laboure and Diane.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Well, we have we're going to introduce our friend Nick here to tell us a little bit about himself and about why he is thankful. He is a wonderful witness for the Lord, for Michael of Nebadon and of course our Creator Mother Spirit in Nebadon, and all of the angels and all of the wonderful celestials with whom we encounter and grow with every day. Nick is such a wonderful witness, such a great person, doing such fine ministry. So, Nick, we want to hear what's going on with you, and tell us also during this wonderful time what you're thankful for.
Thank you, Michael and Diane. Always a pleasure to be with you on your program. I look forward to it. We just had, as you know, Thanksgiving Day. And there's a lot to be thankful for. I think we can all agree to that. There are so many things in our lives, every second of our lives, and we never can and should take anything for granted, ever, because this is all blessings by the billions. And once you realize that, you have a perspective of your life and who you are, excuse me, and what your mission is, and certainly it would be to reflect the limitless love of our universal Father, who showers us with blessings every second. And we should never, ever forget that, and we should use that love to reflect in our own lives, that love to everyone we see. And that, I think, is really the cornerstone of happiness on this planet. I have chosen, thank you,
that's
from my
beautiful heart.
There's two of small quotes that I looked up in the Urantia book that have the word Thanksgiving, and I thought it would be appropriate, if I may, to just read those two passages.
Please do. Thank you.
Okay. Here we go. The first one. Jesus warned his followers against thinking that their prayers would be rendered more officious by ornate repetition, eloquent phraseology, fasting, penance, or sacrifices. But he did exhort his belief to employ prayer as a means of leading up through thanksgiving to true worship. Jesus deplored what so little of the spirit of thanksgiving was to be found in the prayers and worship of his followers. He quoted from the scriptures on this occasion saying, quote, "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the name of the Most High, to acknowledge his loving kindness every morning and his faithfulness every night. For God has made me glad through his work. In everything, I will give thanks according to the will of God," unquote. Now, here's the second quote.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, quote, "Be not constantly over-anxious about your common needs. Be not apprehensive concerning the problems of your earthly existence. But in all these things, by prayer and supplication, with the spirit of sincere thanksgiving, let your needs be spread out before your Father who is in heaven," unquote. Then he quoted from the scriptures, quote, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And this will please the Lord better than the sacrifice of an ox or bullock with horns and hoofs," unquote. Those are the two.
Oh,
fantastic.
Nick, tell me, you said that you had organized a prayerful time for the Thanksgiving meeting with the Urantia folks there in New York. How did that go? How did that proceed?
I'm sorry, Diane, what again are you referring to now? I'm just quite not sure.
Oh, I thought that you had made a nice program for your Urantia meeting on being thankful.
Oh, I see. I actually was asked to do a worship service for the Urantia Society of the Greater New York. And so it was a worship service that I wrote and produced and celebrated for them. And this was on actually a year ago, and it was under the theme of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And after reading a few quotes from the Urantia book, I asked each person from the society who was on the Zoom meeting if they would share two or three things, and I'm sure there were many, but to pick two or three things that they were thankful for. And it was turned out to be a very eye-opening and wonderful experience to from their hearts to say what they were grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, you can't prepare for that more than to just say that you thought you were setting something up and that it would be worthwhile. I was quite moved, and I think everybody on the Zoom meeting was also quite moved with the sincerity and what they picked for what they were most thankful for.
Were some of the things that that they said that really inspired you like this? What kind of things?
They were talking about the blessings, such as if they had a life partner, or in some cases their life partner had passed on, and they were so grateful for all the wonderful times that they had with that person, and that they would always be grateful and thankful for that. The people who had children said how wonderful their lives were with their children, and that was indeed a blessing. Some people talked about, I believe in one case, that they were in great despair, very, very deep despair, and that through the Urantia book, they were able to pull themselves up through the inspired words of the Urantia book and come out of their deep depression. Things like that. It was really quite something.
Of course. Yeah, I'm sure that was made a big impression on you. I know when you started to tell me, you know, that you'd done that, I really could feel what it must have been like.
I would have to also say that when it came my turn, I said that number one has to be the place to say how grateful I am, always will be, for two of the most incredible people, my parents, Nick and Peg.
Oh, that is so wonderful. That's fantastic.
They were so inspiring. They both came from big families. I think six brothers and sisters each from either the Italian family of my father or the Irish family of my mom. And they made it through the Depression. Their stories of how they made it and how they made it work, how they fed all these mouths that needed to be fed through some very harsh times. They always inspire me every single day.
Oh, dear. Yes.
Well, you in turn, Nick, are very, very inspiring. You've inspired Diane and myself for many, many years.
Oh, you have.
Well, thank you for saying that. Thank you for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you've been very kind and you've been very supportive. And, you know, we've shared a lot of creative ideas, too, you know.
Together.
Yeah, uh-huh. And when you were... you know, when you were telling us about, when you were reading the Urantia book quotes tonight, you said to, in one of the quotes you read, that part of thankfulness is singing a song.
Yep.
is offering a song. And,
guess who I was thinking about as I read that? Guess who I might have thought about when I was reading that particular quote?
Yeah.
Yep, you got that right.
Well, you know, you just came out with a beautiful song that's very, very inspiring, Nick. And, you know, you really expressed a thankfulness to our beautiful country and what the country offers. You know, as a beacon of light to the world, tell us a little bit about that creative experience and how everyone is embracing that and the feedback you're getting.
You know, I was so fortunate. I was brought up in New England, Springfield, Massachusetts, and because all around Massachusetts and the other states bordering, there were so many historic sites. There was so much history. And from an early age, we visited Plymouth Rock, a Plymouth plantation, all the Boston, all the wonderful historic sites. I always had such a real feeling of pride and of blessings of what this country was and is and is,
yeah.
Still is. And
yeah.
I always felt inspired. And to tell you the truth, Michael, lately there's been some very negative out there feelings about this country, and I was very disturbed about that. I've heard people say, I don't know if I can wear my sweater with the large American flag on it because I might offend somebody.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, what are you talking about? Wear it proudly. Why would you not? And so there's been a little bit of negativity. And I don't know where it started, but I really think that it is so misplaced, considering all the things our country's been through and all the gifts that we've given the entire world. So with that, I set out to perhaps right a wrong and maybe do a little education too. So that was the inspiring message of let's take a look at our 1776 roots. And then let's talk about standing up for America and all that it is and potentially will be. And then, so that's why I started the song with a 1776 little music insert, which
I
a dear friend
it.
Of mine, isn't Tom Garber, a gifted musician composer, worked with me on that. And then the song itself, I did the lyrics and the music. And then at the end of the song, we briefly went back to 1776 musically. And that was a package that I thought would inspire and perhaps even educate some people, both old and young, to what we've been through to get where we are.
Amazing. Yes. Well, you know, one of my very first inspirations as I was maturing into an adult, and of course I was exploring life and spirituality and everything, I was really inspired by the pilgrims because they were, you know, half of them died the first time they came over here. They came out in the winter, but they were seeking a religious freedom, and they were seeking a freedom of thought and a freedom of living and a freedom of being. And I think just even this radio program alone, this interfaith exchange that we're having, and all of the ability of all the people to come to America in this wonderful melting pot and express all of these wonderful cultures and all of these wonderful religious ideals and ideas, you know, are a testament really to those pilgrims who broke off from the Church of England.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely true. If you and Diane ever come to the East Coast, and I hope you will sometime, Plymouth Plantation, very close to Plymouth Rock, is a recreation of that town, of that wonderful, simple town where these people lived. And the people that occupy it are students of history. They dress in the clothes and the same dialect as the people who live there. And they take on the personality of the families that lived in those houses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you can visit each houses, and you can meet the family and all the names and who they are. And they talk about how they were cooking and where they came from. And you can literally talk to these people in their houses, in this village.
That's really cool.
Absolutely an amazing, you will not ever forget your experience at Plymouth Plantation. It is something to absolutely love to do. And I really hope that sometime you and Diane can do that. I promise.
Yeah. We'll come and see. We'll get together. Hercules will travel over from New Jersey. We'll meet you in New York, and we'll check it out. You know?
That would be so amazing. And just one quick story is that one time my roommate John and I went to Plymouth for Thanksgiving Day. We thought that would be a good idea.
Wow.
And on Thanksgiving morning, about 8 o'clock, it was raining and cloudy. And we took umbrellas, and we walked towards Plymouth Rock, which was walkable from the little hotel we were staying. And I noticed that there was a big tent set up that I've never seen before next to the monument. And I heard an Indian chanting. And as I got closer, I saw an Indian, a man, older man, in full feathered garb from the, just like the tribe which he was from, of that area. And he was had an eagle feather, and he was fanning smoke that he was holding, something burning, and praying, you know, like an Indian would pray, hey, like that sort of.
Right,
I didn't
right.
understand the words, but I knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And anyhow, he looked at the doorway and saw me, and he stopped and looked at me, and I said to him, "May I pray with you?"
Wow.
And he said, "Yes." And we did a little prayer together.
Oh,
I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Amazing. Well, Nick, we want to say thank you so much for you.
Sure.
We're very, very thankful for you in our lives. And you know, we appreciate everything you're doing. You're reflecting the Universal Father in everything you do, and you're just an inspiration to us. And we thank you for all you do, Nick, and happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Happy Thanksgiving, and the feeling is quite mutual.
Yeah.
Many blessings to you.
Yeah,
both.
Actually, we're gonna talk to you tomorrow night too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Nick, hey, thanks a bunch, man. And, you know, we're going to bring in a young American here. His name is Alexander, and hopefully he can chat a little bit with our good friend Hercules. And, you know, Alex is an explorer, too. You know, like we talked about those pilgrims. And we, Diane and I, we give Alex, as he's growing up and maturing, we give him a lot of opportunity to really explore the things that he really enjoys and to come to the conclusions that he likes as far as his religious beliefs, his cultural beliefs, things like that. And he's really growing into a fine young man. And one of the reasons is because, Hercules, you've given him the ability to express himself on this program. So we're going to hand it over to Alex. And, Hercules, are you there?
I'm right here, and I'm honored by your words. I enjoy talking to Alex.
All right. Take it away, Alex.
Hello.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad to hear that. So what is new in your universe and in the Doctor Who universe?
Not too much. I'm just rewatching a few episodes every once in a while.
Okay. Which Doctor?
It's just a variety of them that I have at the moment.
Are you gravitating toward anyone in particular or any period in the Doctor's life?
No, not really.
Not really?
Which
ones have you watched?
The one that I have of Peter Davidson, some Matt Smith, a little bit of that. Not too much else.
Have you started exploring anything new beyond Doctor Who fandom?
Actually, yes, I did.
Ah, I'd love to hear about it.
I found two things that are incredibly cryptic and really vague, but I don't know
exactly.
They're called Limbo and Inside.
What's that about? That sounds interesting.
So, essentially, Limbo is about some boy who wakes up and finds himself running about and trying to avoid certain things, such as a gigantic spider, but other than that, there isn't much to it.
Okay.
Inside is a little bit more fleshed out. This one is also about a boy with a red shirt, and he basically runs around a dystopian future where everybody's controlled by one facility.
Hmm.
And he evades ravenous dogs, agents of that facility, stuff like that, and figures out how to mind control certain people into doing what he wants them to do.
And are these young adult novels? Are they comic books? Are they graphic novels? Are they television shows? Are they...
I don't know, actually. I just found them, and I'm just like, God, I like this.
And how are your own creative endeavors? You've been writing for a while within the Doctor Who universe. Are you entered any new universes?
I haven't written too much into too many universes other than Doctor Who and Gravity Falls, but those two are probably the main at the moment.
I saw Gravity Falls a while back when it was first playing. Tell me about your impressions of Gravity Falls.
All I can really say is this. It's left a mark on me.
Okay.
I hope that's a good thing.
I legitimately cannot leave it alone.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So that's good. Have you seen all of them yet, or are you in the process of watching them?
I've actually seen all of them a while back at least.
Have you been reading the books, too? I have one of the books, but I haven't really been following the books.
I actually have both books, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is Gravity Falls about, Alex? Tell us.
Two siblings, Dipper and Mabel, who get sent to their great-uncle Stan's for the summer and they encounter supernatural stuff as they go about investigating.
Yeah, what kind of supernatural stuff?
Mists, stuff like that. No. Mostly stuff like fairies, Bigfoot, all that stuff, like typical supernatural stuff.
But it gets pretty cosmic. They save the universe, or they're on their way to saving the universe. So it transcends the supernatural explorations and the regular paranormal stuff, and becomes a pretty cosmic show by the end, if I remember correctly.
You're partially correct, because Weirdmageddon really was just a localized thing that I literally call a altered world event, but that's something else entirely. The show I'm currently working on does that, like transcends that sort of supernatural, but in a more stranger way.
Have you watched any of the supernatural television series in the past, like X-Files or Supernatural? Or
I mean to get into the X-Files and Supernatural, although both of them are kind of like... The X-Files, for some reason, had an inspiration behind the show I'm currently trying to write. I don't know how, I don't know why.
Yeah, it was very interesting. My wife and I binge watch series. So last time we watched Supernatural and we watched X-Files again. We hadn't seen them in years, so we watched them. They're very long. Supernatural went on for 15 seasons plus an animated season, and X-Files went, I think, 11 seasons and a few movies. So it took us a long time to work our way through them.
Tell them about Stranger Things and Project Blue Book. We've been watching a couple series.
I reckon that you've probably seen Stranger Things at this point.
I saw the first two seasons, I believe. I didn't watch anything that came after that.
Ha! I mean, I have the first two seasons on DVD.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And tell them about Project Blue Book.
Project Blue Book is just literally about inspired by literal events that did transpire in the Air Force where they were trying to investigate UFO phenomena.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. I actually have the first season. I haven't seen it yet. Do you recommend it?
Yes.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, we love it.
Okay, I have to go down to the bookshelf and dig it out, and I'll put that in the stack of what we're watching.
Yeah, it's really neat. You know, we've really been enjoying it. You know, and the professor from what was he? Ohio University, was it?
I think.
What was his name again? What's his name?
Hynek.
Yeah, Professor Hynek. He's employed by the Air Force, and they have this small little task force to try and disprove and put a conspiracy label on the UFO sightings that were beginning, you know, in the 50s and 60s. But this Hynek, this Professor Hynek, he sees that they might actually, you know, be really true and viable. And there's like this tension between the Air Force that wants to disprove it, and then Professor Hynek, you know, that wants to show that, hey, you know, that there might be something to this, you know, because of all the simultaneous sightings and things like that. It's a really neat series.
Oh, good. It sounds like what actually happened. And earlier today I was watching a documentary about Dr. Hynek. So he's fresh.
Oh, really? No way.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and in the series it shows that he has visions. It's like he would go to the sites that the Air Force wants him to investigate. And he'll have visions, like he'll see what actually happened in his mind, and he'll go through those experiences in his mind and see what actually happened. It's really, really kind of neat.
I mean, if you want to know what the parapsychological term for that is, it's psychometry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Alex Hercules. Yeah, go ahead.
It sounds like Alexander is widening his horizons and exploring the fringes, which is awesome. Thank you for sharing with me, Alex, and thank you, Michael, for expanding the conversation.
No problem. No problem.
And one last thing, just to kind of leave things off. There is another supernatural show literally called Fringe, so I just thought of that when you said the fringes.
I still have 4 of the 5 seasons of Fringe. I used to enjoy that years ago.
I'll have to check that one out, too. All right, well, thank you, Hercules. I'm going to thank you for that. Appreciate it. Good job, Alex. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex.
And I'm going to turn it over to Diane. Before we get to our wonderful friend, Gerald, Diane wanted to talk a little bit about this wonderful team meeting that we had. It was actually Lord Maitreya's 37th message for the world that we had on August 13th, 2021, upstairs in our great room. Last time we met for the sixth revelation, of course, the sixth revelation being what the gods are talking about today, what they're trying to do on our planet at this time with us involved, of course. And Diane went through a couple of our friends and what their messages were on our last sixth revelation broadcast, and she would like to expand that a little bit today with some of our other friends and what they said.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Hmm. Yes, the last time that we had our program a month ago, we did Rhea and Hermes and Aries, the messages they were giving to us. And then Michael talked a little bit about Maitreya's 37th message in addition to that. We didn't get to finish with Father Fortuna, who is the Infinite Father in the Aranchabog, and Zeus, who is also the Local Universe Father in the Aranchabog, and Hera, who is the Local Universe Mother. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about those three, and then Michael will finish with Eros. So I did the others. So the Infinite Father, he is in the Greek. He is Oceanus. And he was in purple, a beautiful purple robe, and he had white hair and gold all around him when he came. He says he's doing something special for the next 20 years to try and bring more prosperity to people that may not have had prosperity in the past. And because of the pandemic, maybe some people have fallen out of prosperity. And he is the god of prosperity, he says. A prosperity of joy, hope, and generosity and kindness. From now on, and during Light and Life, he will have this job to bring more prosperity to everyone. The other celestial we had, of course, was Zeus or Caesar. And he says that we have to live through the next 20 years. He says, come to me. He says, it will never go back to the way it was. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, things will turn around and we'll be back. But he says, no. He says, this time, the celestial government will determine how your future goes on and ends. Now, he is going to appear on April 13th, 2026. And he's going to try and appear to everyone in the whole world. He says to love your family, neighbor, and friends, and pray to him, and he will help everyone. He is seeing too many people that are discouraged, he said. He said, live and act in a positive way. This turbulent time is only a passing thing. Trouble and unhappiness are unreal. This reality is only a passing movie. You know, I used to hear other people say that it's just like a movie. So I understood what he was saying. The real future lies within me, he says. Now, Hera, she is Astaroth or Hathor. Her personal name is Celeste, and she's the Local Universe Mother in the Aranchabog. She says the people of this earth have caused her and the angels a terrible burden. She's saying that all of the abortions are causing the angels to weep. Now Gabriel, her child, the firstborn of the local universe mother and father in the Urantia book, they are helping her. And Gabriel is called the god of the unborn child. Even in Japan, there is a god that actually is Gabriel, and the mothers go to him to pray. So he's saying, don't hurt the little ones anymore. Everyone who helps a child will be personally persuaded by the father and mother. The message from all the celestials is every single child that was aborted will be able to come back to the earth during light and life, and they will give it a gift of at least 6 decades to enjoy family, friends, and others. So those are the other ones. Michael is just going to mention that we had Eros, and then we want to talk to Gerald G. Farley. Thank you, Michael, if you'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just very quickly, Divine Love Eros is also known as Chaos in the Greek tradition. And his message is that your life will be better after light and life than has been, whether in the flesh or not, than has ever been, whether in the flesh or not, in a world that is peaceful and full of my love. Light and life will begin during the age of Pisces on March 10th, 2043, when Pluto goes into Pisces. This will be a new golden age and an age of enlightenment. And he says, you will have the opportunity of experiencing light and life on this planet at some point in the future, whether it be in the flesh or not, but that substantially our Earth will enter the age of Pisces on March 10th, 2043. We will all join with family and friends to celebrate. He says, your future life is guaranteed. He says, I offer you my love, and I will give love to all during this magisterial mission, which began March 20th, 2017, under the guidance of Lord Maitreya, the age of Aquarius. When Pisces goes into Aquarius, March 24th, 2023, and definitely in January 22nd, 2024, age of Aquarius, giving way eventually to the age of Pisces, light and life, March 10th, 2043. So our space gods, our celestial friends are preparing something really nice for us, but there is a magisterial mission, and the focus is introspection, purging, and change to get to the age of Aquarius and then to the age of Pisces, enlightenment. We're very excited about that, and the Sixth Revelation Ministry is for that, to express that and give focus to that. And another person that is an inspiration to us, like Nick and Alex, is our wonderful, wonderful friend, Gerald T. Farley. Gerald, take it away. Tell us what you have to offer us today.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for your beautiful song.
You're welcome.
This is from the ninth dimensional Arcturian Council, what the fifth dimension will be like for you. And I often think about Alex, and when they, after I read through this, and now I'm also, thinking about where he will go with this, and also what Nick was talking about with the Plymouth people. I see them here with us now. That will be interesting. And I'm looking forward. I'll be 105 years old.
Gerald.
So, greeting. We are the Arcturian Council. We are pleased to connect with all of you. We are very excited to see what you will do with the energies that have been upon you and how you will use them to co-create better systems there on your world. Many of you who are awake, know that the systems you have in place are not working for everyone or even most people. And you want to be a part of creating the new systems that will be in place as you shift your consciousness. We do want you to understand that as fifth dimensional beings, you will not need those systems. You will not need an educational system. That's mind-boggling. Everyone will be able to access whatever they want, whenever they want, regardless of their age. And without a computer or internet connection, you will simply download whatever it is you desire to download directly into your higher minds. You will not need an economic system because you will be instant manifestors. Those are the affirmations again. That's what they're for. So there will not be a need for an exchange of any kind. Do not try to figure this out right now with your human minds, because the human minds are limited and they will come up with limitations. You will not need governments because you will be able to govern yourselves. You will not need borders, so why would you need a government? There will be peace. There will be no war, which harkens back to what Michael was talking about earlier with Eros. There will be no trade agreements. Everything will flow according to vibration. Everything will be happening as though synchronicity was the rule of the day, and it will be. And you will be astonished by how much you do not need as fifth dimensional beings. Therefore, we would advise you to focus more on being fifth dimensional beings, on grounding in fifth dimensional energies, and on clearing what you need to clear from your chakras in order to ascend, rather than focusing on and complaining about your broken systems and who needs to do what about them. That is not your job. Your job is to work within the self, the higher self, where you have all the power, and within the now, present moment, where you can offer a vibration that is different from the one you were offering in the previous moment. It does not have to be more complicated than that. As far as your relationships with extraterrestrials go, you will figure all of that out in the moment. Again, vibration will dictate everything. And so those who are ready for more contact will have it. Those who want more contact will get it. Those who want to travel will be able to, regardless of where they want to go. Do not try to sort it all out now and think that you have to have it all figured out before it can happen, because you do not, and because you cannot. What you can do is look after yourselves and those around you who need whatever gifts you currently have to offer. You can help raise the level of consciousness there on the planet. And you do not have to worry about what others are doing or not doing. You do not have to assume that anyone else is creating in your reality, because they are not. And you can live a more empowered life as you continue to move forward step by step to the fifth dimension. We are the Arcturian Council, and we have enjoyed connecting with you. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you, Gerald. You always bring such an inspiration to us. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, that particular message, Gerald, from the Arcturian Council, it you know, it sure has the flavoring of an individual approach, as opposed to like a group approach to having, you know, a group of people think in a certain way, a group
right.
of people functioning in a certain way, that it's us with all of our faculties and all of our personal systems connecting with, you know, the sixth revelation says, you know, local universe, father, mother, universal father, mother, infinite father and mother, and so on and so forth. But it's us. And we are talking about our approach right now is this, that what I mentioned, that this time before the age of Aquarius or this, you know, this time that you're talking about of change, this in this golden age that we're talking about, that there's a personal path, a personal growth, a personal challenge for us to, you know, to vibrate to the spiritual as opposed to the animal. So this offers us a lot of hope that there's
a lot of wisdom in that and what you're saying, Michael, because the truth is it is going to take each and every one of us. All life is precious. And so no matter who it is who comes into our lives, they have something unique to offer mm-hmm. in the process. And if we look at it like that, like we're meeting a new friend instead of a stranger, miracles happen. Mm-hmm. You're right on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, Thea used to always tell us in meetings, the consort of Hyperion, who will be the new planetary sovereign of our planet very soon. She used to always say, whenever you meet anyone, what you look for is the light that comes from within them, and that's the most important thing. And so this kind of reflects that, too. Every single person is a joy and a light from God.
Or a learning experience.
And a learning experience.
One way or
that's
the other.
True. Good for you, Gerald.
Well, yeah, during Black Friday, I had a couple of instances of that, learning from good teachers.
I can imagine.
Well, Gerald, so tell us, Gerald, then, what are some ways that we can do in our personal lives to help us to raise our vibration personally, to function on that more fifth dimensional level as opposed to the third dimensional level?
Three things, four or five things actually come to mind. Listen to Alex, listen to Hercules, listen to Nick, and listen to each other.
Oh, how beautiful. And listen to Gerald D. Farley.
Well, he's just a mirror for all of you, like everyone else.
You are absolutely the most glorious person. You, Nick, Hercules, the three of you. How could we ask for better friends?
Mm-hmm.
We're so very thankful. You talk about being thankful this season. We are so thankful
mm-hmm.
for friends that are so inspiring as the three of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that's because I'm a leader at my job. You know, I'm not the highest leader, you know, in the place, but I'm certainly a leader, and I have 17 employees underneath me that I oversee.
Wow.
You know, and my company is up there on the, you know, we're up there as far as innovating, as far as, you know, pushing the boundaries of good business practice and things like that. So I want to be an innovator, and I want to have good practice, and I want to be inspirational to my associates and employees. But the customers, I look at the customers as that light that Diane was talking about, that they are shining the light of God, and that they bring so much, and not to shy away from opportunities to really connect, you know. So I like to hear people's stories, when they come to me as a an employee, as a customer, because I want to shine the light of God to them, and hopefully they shine the light of God to me and carry that on.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Just like a smile. You know, Nick, you always had such a beautiful smile. I don't get to see that smile, but you always were like that. You know, you share a smile with someone, and they'll share that smile and carry it on, and everyone will be happier and have a more beautiful life and world.
So, Gerald, are you there?
Yes.
So, okay. So we one of the tasks is for us to look toward each other as shining the light of Christ, so to speak.
Yes.
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 That makes a lot of sense to me, Michael.
And Gerald, do you have maybe quickly you could just tell us a little update about the Christ schools?
Christ Michael's schools are looking at three different properties, one in Roseburg, Oregon, one in Prescott, Arizona, and one
we've
in...
Oh, we've been there.
Have you? Lovely.
We had a previous life there about 500 years ago, and we went there to see all the places that we saw when we lived there.
That's great.
Yeah,
well,
it was really exciting.
Maybe that's
Mike
the one,
Diane.
Uh-huh.
We were Indians. We were Indians, I have to say. We were Indians.
Yeah. And the other one is in Mexico.
In the Pacific Ocean. Oh, in Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah. It's already a kind of a retreat center. And,
oh, it is.
9 acres.
Yes.
But,
now the one. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's exciting to hear about. I'd love to hear about your lifetime there.
Oh, we've explored so many of our lifetimes. One in Greece, and of course one in Egypt, and some of them we've been together. And that was the one that Michael was Blue Feather, and I was I was Blue Feather. He was. Blue piece in the face. These Indian names, I'm sorry. But, they were so exciting, and we actually went to the place where we had our teepee. I know this sounds crazy, but we did. We actually took pictures of the site, and there was a creek by it where we washed our clothes and got our water and food and everything.
Oh,
so we
beautiful.
Really had a fun time in Prescott,
That's
Arizona.
That's great.
Reliving the life that we had together. Although it didn't end very well.
You'll love it when you guys get to see this place, if we get the one in Prescott. And,
we will. We love Prescott, Arizona.
And Nick as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited at the possibility of seeing Plymouth. That would be
wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I mean, because that, you talk about strong people that went to Plymouth.
We have 90 seconds, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Hercules. So, Gerald, can you please give us your contact information?
Gerald T., as in Thomas, Farley, at hotmail.com, area 503. 385-8480. Call anytime.
Thank you, sir. And Nick, are you there, Nick?
Yes, I am.
All right, Nick, can you tell
my,
us?
My contact would be my email address, which is nicknyny1. And it's the numeral one, not O-N-E, but the numeral one at gmail.com. Repeating it, nicknyny1@gmail.com.
And your disclosure network?
Disclosure, you can get information by emailing me. And also we have a website, I'll give you that, www.dnny.info. That's dnny.info.
Fantastic. And you can reach Diane and myself at my email is Michael Duncan, that's D-U-N-K-I-N, the number one, at hotmail.com. But please, please check out our YouTube channel. It's called Michael and Diane with two N's, Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. Michael and Diane Duncan, over 100 videos, celestial team meetings. We have our paintings and we have our music, our albums, our songs, mm-hmm. and some other wonderful things that you can enjoy that talk about what the sixth revelation is bringing to the world. We are revisiting and reimagining our wonderful celestial friends and including them in our lives forever. Sixth revelation.
Thank you so very much. You're all awesome. Happy Thanksgiving. And Michael and Dan, thank you for the wonderful card. I received it yesterday.
Oh, yes. You're most welcome.
We
wished everyone a most happy Thanksgiving. And we will talk to all of you tomorrow evening.
Looking forward to it. And thanks to all who tuned in, whether you called in and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you all.
Much love to everybody. Much love.